together. Turn in your Bibles. We're in the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus is drawing lots of crowds now, and he's speaking to them in parables. And here he's going to tell a parable, and then he's going to tell his disciples exactly why he's speaking in parables. His time has not yet come, right? We can read this, we can understand it, but at the time, he had somewhat of a secret message. And he kept saying, "My time has not yet come, my time has not yet come." Then after a couple of years of ministry, at one point some disciples came and said, "The Greeks want to see you. The Greeks have come looking for you." And Jesus immediately responded, "Now the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified, for him to be lifted up." Along the way, he's teaching in parables. Here he's going to compare God's word to a farmer spreading seed, right? And the different types of soil that receive the seed. So let's read this together. Could we actually rise again to read God's word? It's kind of a long passage. A farmer spreading seed. So Luke chapter 8 and verse 4. "And when a great crowd was gathering and people came to him, he said in a parable, 'A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell to good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, 'To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. For others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand.' Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, in the word of, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience." And Father, we thank you for your word, and Lord, we pray you'd give us understanding. Help us to take it deep in our hearts, to meditate on these things. Lord, we want to have ears to hear. So speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We want to talk about having ears to hear. Two students can go to the same classes, such as in college. They can read the same books, eat all the same food, have all the same experiences in their dorm, and one student will make an A and the other will make an F. And they are responsible for that grade. Teacher holds them responsible. Well, in a similar fashion, Jesus is saying that you receive the word of God, you are responsible for it. You're responsible for your heart, for how you take his word in your heart, how we respond to it, how we respond to his word. Proverbs says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." That we to take care of our own heart. God is sovereign. God, nothing happens that takes him by surprise. He is completely sovereign, and he calls us. But at the same time, he tells us we're responsible for how we respond, how we handle his word. We're responsible for how we watch over our own hearts. Consider, for example, what songs do you sing, right? What songs do you allow into your heart, go through your mind? We all have basic needs in life, basic to being human, right? We all have to have food, some kind of food, any kind of food. And if we're going to live, we need food for nourishment. We need shelter. We need clothing. But something else, very basic to being human, we need our earbuds, right? We are going to sing. Our hearts are going to worship something. Our hearts are going to cherish something. Watch over your heart with all diligence, the Bible says. From it flow the springs of life. Here in this parable, Jesus talks about God's word, his word, Jesus' teaching as seeds, and our hearts are the soil. So we just want to go through this and think, what kind of soil am I? How am I guarding my heart? How am I taking care of it? Now, I want to start here. Jesus tells the parable, and then to his disciples, he gives the explanation of the parable. And between the telling of the parable and the interpreting of it, he tells them, he cries out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He who is listening, are you listening? What are you letting into your mind? What are you letting into your heart? And his disciples asked him what it meant. He said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets, the kingdom of God. But for others, they're in parables, so that seeing they may not see, hearing they may not understand." If the people aren't listening, God is not going to grab them and shake them and force them to hear his word. Now he quotes here, I'll tell you from where he quotes. So that seeing they may not see, you can see the quote marks here. He's quoting from Isaiah, right? From about 700 years earlier, the prophet Isaiah went into the temple of Solomon and had a great vision of God. He saw God in his glory, right? He said the train of his robe filled the temple, and there were angels flying around him, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." They covered their eyes. That's just, they sang it again and again and said the foundations of the temple were shaking. And then Isaiah said he overheard a voice saying, "Who will go for us? Who's going to go and take God's word to the people?" And what was Isaiah's response? He said, "Here am I, send me." And what did God tell him to do? Go and have some crusades, right? And bring many thousands of people back into a right relationship with me. Bring them in that they may know that God is good and worship. God didn't say that. He said, "I have a tough ministry for you. Go and preach, and they will not listen to you. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." According to the Bible, God has made himself very, very clearly known in the creation. Right? We can go out, we can see the stars, we can see the sunrise, we can see the beauty, and know for certain that God is there. We can know it. We can look around, we can see the evil in the world, right? We can say, something is messed up. This world is, there's evil here. And we know that there's a standard of justice, that there is good and there is evil. And we can know that we are not the authors of it. I don't want to be a self-righteous person. I know that there's a creator, and I know that there's good and evil. And the Bible says we're supposed to seek after him. And if we don't, right? If we don't take that knowledge of such joy, such beauty we find in marriage, right? And then just know there's, seek after God. If we don't, then our ears are going to get duller and duller and duller. And pretty soon, his teaching will sound like a bunch of rules, a bunch of do this, don't do that, sound like a bunch of children's stories. Isaiah went out and preached. And what was the people's response when Isaiah went out and preached? We see it about 20 chapters later. Who is this guy teaching? Who does he think he's teaching? He's talking to us like we're children. To whom will he teach knowledge? And to whom will he explain the message? Those who are weaned from milk, those taken from the breast. For it is precept upon precept upon precept, line upon line upon line, a little here, a little there. You're talking to us like children. You're talking. You're giving us all these little rules to follow. And they missed it all, right? We were talking last week about how we don't need to be ashamed of righteousness. We don't need to be ashamed. The world will mock it and condemn us for saying, yes, there's righteousness and there's way. We don't need to be ashamed of it, right? How many of y'all are going to watch the Super Bowl today? Yeah, right? And boy, there's uproar that last week, or was it 2 weeks ago, the referees missed a call for the Saints, right? People are in an uproar. They need to replay the whole game, right? We need these priests, referees, we need them to be there saying, you missed it, right? That was the priest's job. Say, good and evil. Distinguishing. We have these rules, right? We have a bunch of rules that we follow, and we want them to be kept. And the purpose of those rules, what's the purpose? Why do we need those referees? What's the purpose of all those rules? Purpose is joy. The joy of playing the game, right? Purpose of all God's rules, all his righteousness, is to protect something very precious, something very beautiful. Protect that joy. Okay, so that was their response. They weren't listening. They took all the blessings from God and were casual with them. Started worshiping, started singing songs to other gods, to wealth, to the gods of wood and gold. And so when God's word came, their ears were deaf. They weren't listening. They weren't looking. They weren't paying attention. They would look right at something beautiful and they wouldn't see that it had an author. Okay, so that's Jesus is making it clear. We are responsible. I'm responsible for taking his word. So let's go through these, and this is why he's doing it. And just think, what kind of soil am I? The first one is the seed that falls on the path, right? And it just sits there and the birds come and eat it. So what's a person whose heart is hard like this, and it's a heart that lets anybody walk on? I'm not protecting my heart, letting anybody who wants to walk on me, right? I will sing songs to whatever is out there. I will be moved. I'll let my heart be moved by whatever the world says is entertaining. My heart, I will be inspired by something other than God. My heart is out there in the open. And this person hears it. They don't understand it, right? So we're not sow a seed. As he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it, right? The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so they may not believe and be saved. These are the ones, they don't have understanding, right? They take the word, they don't understand it, the devil takes it away, right? Your teacher gives you a D, and you come to the teacher and say, but I didn't understand it. That's not fair. It's not fair you gave me a D. I didn't understand. What's the teacher going to say? Well, okay, we'll get to the homework later. Sorry. You're jumping ahead of me. I'm just going to say, you are supposed to get understanding. I gave you a D because you didn't understand. You're supposed to get understanding. It's your responsibility. You go and you ask and you seek and you knock. You say, I don't get it. Time and again in the prayers in the Bible, saying, God, I do not understand what you're doing. I don't like it. I don't like it or understand it. Why is this happening? We seek him. And Jesus is saying, we are responsible for getting understanding. And that's going to come in a personal interaction with God. That he's speaking personally, and we understand personally. Right now, in this room, there are thousands of messages passing through us, right? I don't know how many, tens of thousands, right? We have lots of images are flying through this room, right? Now, you're not going to hear them. You're not going to see them unless you're tuned in, right? You need a Wi-Fi password. You need to get tuned in to the right frequency. And then we can sing songs. There's lots of songs passing through you right now, right? But you got to be tuned into them. And I would suggest the same can be true spiritually. God will speak. Am I listening? And I just come to him and I say, God, I need understanding. Give me understanding. It's done in secret. You go and you get on your knees and you close the door. I don't understand. I don't know. I'm not sure who you are right now. I'm hoping you're there, and please speak to me. Please give me understanding. You open the Bible and you read and you meditate. And the Bible says he will answer. He will speak if we're listening, if we are tuned in. And the understanding we're going to get is basically his. So we're responsible for being teachable. And the main thing we're going to learn, God is holy and I am sinful. God is awesome. He's great. He's beautiful. And man, I am proud. I'm selfish. I'm a narcissist. You know, on my own, I will totally look after myself. And I will fashion my own gods and I'll bow down and worship them. I will fashion my own sense of righteousness. Paul, at the end of his life, Paul, who had planted so many churches, who had preached the gospel so much, said, I am the worst of sinners. I'm the worst. This is what we will learn as you mature as a Christian. The cross will just get bigger and bigger and bigger, right? But we have to ask. We have to ask for that understanding. He says he will answer. I'm not telling you he's going to answer. He's answered me. I'm telling you, this book says, if you get on your knees, if you knock and seek and ask, this book says he will speak to you. And I can testify that's what he's done for me, right? Okay, that's the seed on the soil. Let's look at the seed that's on rocky ground, right? That doesn't get moisture, right? Some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. The ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. Henry, this is the one. They don't put down roots. They don't do their homework, right? You go to the teacher. It's not fair. I got a D. I don't like homework, right? We got to push down the roots, right? Yes, God gives us life freely, right? It is by grace we are saved. But he's given us the opportunity. He creates good works for us to do that we could walk in them. But we have to walk, right? We have to take steps of faith. We have to push our roots down, right? I remember taking Russian in college, and the Russian grammar was pretty easy, right? And class was fun, and I could always, in the class, I always understood, right? And, you know, we would practice our best James Bond, right? With the Russian, you vocalize before you speak, you know. Здравствуйте, right? That was horrible. That was terrible. Sorry. But I didn't do the homework very well. And even though I understood everything in class, I didn't do my homework and I didn't learn. We have to go a day at a time. We're not going to learn more until we apply, until we do the homework with what he's already revealed to us. In time of testing, they fall away. They make excuses. There's someone who depends on mountaintop experiences. You go to summer camp, you go to a retreat, you have a great emotional experience of God. But then goes back to Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and cherishing what I received and guarding it. I don't put down the roots. And the Bible says that we fall away. Make excuses. High school, one of the members of our track team, Max, he was just kind of a slacker. He fortunately got a reputation for just being a slacker. And one day in particular, he showed up for practice late. And the first word out of his mouth, we had finished running, the first word out of his mouth was, "Coach, my toaster broke." We never let him forget it, right? For the rest of high school, you know, any problem, "Max, how's your toaster?" Right? He comes in last place, "Max, we're sorry about your toaster." Right? I mean, we've all been there, making excuses. Jesus' message is for your heart, right? We all go through very great trials. We go through awful times. We get abused. We get cheated. We get slandered. All kinds of abuse. How do we guard our heart, right? Where do we go for refuge? Where do we go to get our sense of hope? He says, you're responsible for that. You're responsible for being faithful, with what we learn. This is, again, it's simply, it takes discipline. Jesus says, when you fast. He doesn't say, if you fast. He says, when you fast. We have to have times when we very deliberately say, I am not going to be satisfied with the things of this world. I'm just going to stop eating because I want to hunger for God. I want to get my inspiration, my hope. I want this word to be what guides my songs, what moves my heart. You can't do that without fasting. I'm not sorry, but I'm just telling you, it's difficult, right? Think of it like your coach saying, you know, you got to give your best, right? If you don't give your best, you won't do well in the races. And whether you win or lose the race doesn't matter. When it's over, the peace will come from having given your best, right? I've probably said that a dozen times already, but I remember it so well. Coach Poole telling us, gentlemen, if you're not happy without the trophy, you will not be happy with the trophy, right? Your goal is not to win. Your goal is to give your best day in and day out. We have to guard our hearts, and we have to be faithful in taking what we've heard and practicing it, right? The disciples were faithful, seeking after understanding, asking God for strength, asking him for understanding. But it took them a long time to get good understanding. You know, it took them about 7 years to realize that the gospel wasn't just for the Jews. It was for the whole world. It took them about another 7 years to come to the conclusion, we don't need to get circumcised. It took them about 400 years to get a good understanding of the Trinity. All that good knowledge and understanding It'll come. But it'll come as we are faithful day after day, walking with God, seeking Him. We are responsible for being faithful. Here's the third one. The thorny soil. I know those aren't thorns, but they're weeds, right? That's the fastest growing plant in any garden. It's going to be the weed, right? Because they don't have to work hard to put down roots, because they're depending on, you know, they're a parasite, depending on all the other growth around them. So they can spring up quickly. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Jesus says, here is life. I give you a river of life in your heart. I give you abundant blessing, the promise of heaven. But you're going to have to pull the weeds, right? Regularly. You're going to have to go and pull the weeds around your heart. You're going to have to deliberately, you know, again, this is kind of like fasting, deliberately say, I'm not going to let these other things grow in my life. All right, Caleb, I'm not going to let the video games distract me from hearing an awesome sermon, right? So we're responsible for being available, right? God will give me, he will move heaven and earth. He will tax the remotest star to give me abundant life. But I don't just sit, soak, and sour, right? I am to seek after him. The life that he gives is a very active, vibrant, fighting the good fight time of life, type of life. It's not just relaxing and kicking back and getting fat, right? He wants us to be vigilant, diligent, in pulling the weeds, guarding our heart, taking care of it. King David said, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all else. Who can trust it? Can I trust this thing? I need to trust God's word. Ask him for wisdom. Pull up the weeds. So, some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. It doesn't have, you know, this person's been pulling the weeds, you know, they've been moving the rocks. Didn't talk about moving rocks. I mean, if you have rocks in your life, you know, you just got to work to get rid of them. You got to pry them out. You got to get a pry bar. Rocks are good if they're out in the open. There's nothing wrong with rocks here, but where my roots are, I just want that to be clear, good soil, right? That means in the secret. You can have rocks out here, but in the secret place. The things I do in secret to get rest, to get peace. That's where I need to not have any unnourishing rocks. That's where I need to, in the secret of my heart, go to God's word. In the secret of my heart, I'm worshiping him. In New Jersey, we used to live in New Jersey, have about 6 inches of topsoil, and below that is clay, and the clay gets harder and harder and harder. I wanted to plant a couple of apple trees. I wanted some apples. I wanted my apple cobbler, right? We had to get a pickaxe, right, and pound on the ground again. I spent 6 hours pounding into the ground with a pickaxe, taking the wheelbarrow and shoveling away a bunch of clay that was pretty much the same as rocks. And then we had to import a bunch of good soil there and plant the tree. And it took a lot of work, right? But then my apple tree, it grew up and it bore apples. And then the stinking deer came and ate them. I wanted to shoot the deer. I hated those deer, right? They took my apples. But I'm just saying, it takes a lot of work to get those rocks out of the way. We got to get it out of the way. Sorry. Jeremiah helped me dig the rocks out. As for that in the good soil, there are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast, and in an honest and good heart bear fruit with patience. They are faithful, available, teachable before God, right? That's what we want to be. We want to be fat, right? It doesn't mean you need a PhD in theology. I hope y'all are laughing with me, right? Right? It doesn't mean you have to memorize your Bible. Many of the disciples, the Pharisees, could have danced circles around them with theological and philosophical questions and their knowledge of Scripture. But those same guys were not, they took God's word and they memorized it. And Jesus said, you search the Scriptures, you think that in them you have life, you think it's because of what you do. You're not listening to God. No. They were not available, teachable before God. They weren't seeking God. We want to be fat, Jesus says, and it is your responsibility. I'm giving you life. What are you doing with it? I'm giving you everything. And it will be a long road. Have y'all, it's Chinese New Year, so I have to talk about Wang Mingdao. Do y'all know him? He died about 20 years ago. He was a great evangelist in China. He became a Christian as a teenager, going to a Presbyterian school, and he grew up very, very quickly in the faith. And he stayed faithful. He stayed true. But in August 1955, they arrested him for refusing to join with the government church, right? They arrested him. He said, I began to fail. My spiritual strength began to cower, and I slowly started to submit. I renounced my faith in God. Mao Zedong had me released. Faithful guy. He cracked under the pressure, right? In prison, away from his wife. So he renounced. I was a free man from prison. And I walked away free now, but all of a sudden I realized what I had done, and I realized whom I had betrayed. He said it took a few weeks for him to really meditate, to really dig deep. How important is Jesus in his life, right? He'd been faithful, but then, who knows what any of us would do under that kind of pressure. He began to walk through the streets of Beijing, screaming, my name is Peter. I have denied my Lord. My name is Peter. I have denied my Lord. He proclaimed the gospel again. They arrested him again. This time he stayed in prison for 21 years. 21 years away from his wife. 21 years on his own. He would simply pray to God. 1979, when reforms were taking place after Mao Zedong had died, Deng Xiaoping came along, started some reforms. They tried to release him. And he said, not until you clear my name. Do you remember when Paul was in Philippi and they arrested him and they pounded on him a bit? And then later they found out who he was, found out he was a Roman citizen, and that they had arrested him for no reason, and they went to release him from jail. He said, no, you've got to let it be known that I have done nothing wrong, that I've been faithful. And he got the leaders of Philippi to come and escort him out of jail and out of the city. He wanted it to be known that he was not some charlatan, not some snake oil salesman, that he was simply preaching the gospel. Wang Mingdao did the same thing. Here he is as an old man. And then they tricked him. They tricked him to thinking they were going to clear his name. And they just got him out of the prison. And he was free. But he remained faithful. And through, he failed, He renounced and then he came back and said, God used him, right? And he used his testimony. And even hearing this, you know, it's encouraging to me because I have failed. You know, there have been times like Peter, I just kind of quietly, you know, pretended not to be a Christian, not wanted to let people know. Jesus is always forgiving, right? When after Peter denied him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Right? Totally restored Peter. This man was restored. And through him, even though he's in prison for 20 years, through him, through his testimony, God bore tremendous fruit, strengthened the church. Even though he was in jail, God was able to use his testimony, use his former teaching to greatly encourage and strengthen the church. We have no idea how God can use us. We have no idea. And we don't need to know. We'll find out later. All the heroes of the faith, they simply stayed faithful. They didn't know what God was doing. They didn't know how God was using them. They couldn't see the fruit. This guy didn't see the fruit till an old man, he saw some of it, right? We just remain faithful, available, teachable. Bear a rich, rich crop, 100-fold. For a while, this was in parables, but now we read it openly, plainly, and Jesus says to go and proclaim it. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Father, we thank you that you give us this word, Lord, and we want to be faithful with it. We want to guard over our hearts. We want to have ears to hear and eyes to see. Give us wisdom, Lord. And when we fail, Lord, to get back up and know that your desire is not for us to feel ashamed. Your desire is for us to feel forgiven and revived and full of your Spirit, Lord, to go proclaim your mercies. Claim your grace to a desperate, to a maddening, hurting world. Or give us eyes to see opportunities to talk of your word, to share your words of life. You said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, thirst again. Thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.